Today's Gospel is taken from the 21st chapter of St. Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another that will not be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Well, dang it, that was really awesome. Shoot. Because I was feeling really grumpy. Not just because, you know, it's that time of the season where sometimes you get to feel grumpy even though it's Christmas and Thanksgiving and there's... But I have that sign right there. Jesus loves little children, and I can hear the song. And where's those shakers? I need a shaker. Where's the shakers at? I need a shaker. I just need a shaker. I got it. Thank you. There, that's a good one right there. I'll just hold that for a second. So, I was feeling grumpy because the reading, in case you missed it, if you remember that reading I did a while ago, it was not like this at all. You know, it had bad things. The disciples asked Jesus a question. You know, when's all this stuff going to happen? And Jesus starts going off. I mean, it just goes crazy. And, you know, if... Who, you know, a while back read Left Behind? I did. I read all 7 books. Some of you didn't. If you didn't, you don't have to admit it. But, you know, I mean, they were good reads. Theologically, what do they mean? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But they were interesting. But they relate to this text, you know, and we don't even get the whole text because there's more destruction, just in case, just to bring it down for a second, and let you think about the gospel for a second. There's more. He says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those inside the city must leave it, and those out in the country must not enter it. And for these are days of vengeance as a fulfillment of all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth." And I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I'm disturbing a child. I'm going to stop reading because it's horrible. It's, I mean, they're words of Jesus, you know, it's the red letter edition, they're words of Jesus, but he's just talking about a lot of things that most of us can easily get caught up in, because he uses words like hurricanes and famine and things like that, and it's easy to get caught up in the complex things. But what I would argue is that reading, the disciples got caught up into it as well, because they forgot about the easy stuff. So this is what the sermon is about. This is the what I came up with. Caught up in the hard stuff, the easy stuff gets left behind. Caught up in the hard stuff, the easy stuff gets left behind. So what's the hard stuff of life? Now, again, I'm not trying to bring it down because, man, those children were so good, and I hate to even talk about it. And what I've done partly is a takeaway. We'll have a takeaway station in here. You get to take something home with you in a second here. But what is the hard stuff of life? I mean, it's, you know, I mentioned hurricanes. You know, what happened in the Philippines? People died because it was a giant, you know, maybe the biggest one ever. You know, the portent, I had to look up that word. Do you know what portent means? It just means an ominous sign. When Pastor Beth and I lived in Aberdeen in that storm of 2007, that was only 100-mile-an-hour wind. But I thought for sure our 1925 house was going to blow off its foundation and that it wasn't going to make it to 2008. But fortunately, it was built on really center-cut wood, and it's, you know, it was solidly made, so our house survived. But I can't even imagine 200 miles an hour. That would just be terrifying. And that's kind of what it was for the disciples, because this story that Luke wrote about, he wrote about it after this event happened. The temple was destroyed by the Romans, completely destroyed. And this temple was a huge place, about the size of, I'm guessing, and not to belittle the temple, but it's probably about the size of 4 Super Walmarts. You ever been in a Super Walmart? I mean, they're big. So imagine 4 of those. That's how big this temple was. And the Romans knocked it all down. Knocked it all down. Not much left to this day. They knocked it all down. That happened in 66. The Gospel of Luke's written at somewhere in the 70s, 80s. So when Jesus is saying this, back he lived in the 30s, I mean, he's speaking some truth that was going to happen. Kind of like a hurricane coming through and knocking everything down. That's what it was like. So think about loss for a second. Think about that. What's the worst loss, you know? And it's probably death. Death of a parent. Death of a child. Death is horrible. It's hard. And the hard stuff we can get caught up in. And in this season, even though it's a time of joy and thanksgiving, as we approach it, at least myself, well, I need some, for whatever reason, well, I need to have the shaker for the whole time. And I wish I had like 1,000 of these to hand out. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some boxes of tissue here. This is the takeaway for the day. Not because I have, you know, recovering from a cold, which I am. But, I found some crosses, and I was just going to maybe hand out all the crosses I had in my office, but I only found 5 of them. And so, and like this one came, this one's in my office when we arrived here. It's very cool. And it was made by Bob Smith. Very cool cross. And, you know, if you remember, Jesus said, he said in another passage that seems kind of complicated and weird, you know, he said, take up your cross and follow me. So I had this big cross and I was going to take it up and I was going to try and fall. This is heavy. It's hard to do. So here's Jesus talking about all of these kind of complicated things and how do we do these hard things? How do we do these hard things? Well, all that hard stuff, that's PhD level stuff. And I think he was telling this stuff, and then I think he kind of lost track of who we really are as followers, that we sometimes fail, maybe on a daily basis. Because really, the bottom line for Jesus was what? There's only 2 commands. Love God, love your neighbor. So I have a confession to make. As the pastor of this church, I failed in loving a neighbor this week. So I'm confessing that I got caught up in the hard stuff, thinking everything was complicated. I tried to control the controllables, control the uncontrollables instead of just controlling the controllables, you know. And someone had called the church. They needed something. And my policy has been, if someone calls a church and needs something, we're going to give it to them. Doesn't matter what it is. That works pretty well. If you're in line with God and things are working out, it works pretty well. Well, this family with a child, a 4-year-old, needed to go from here to the other side of the country. And they were going to go by bus, and they needed at least $600. Now, maybe that seems like a lot of money. Maybe that doesn't. I don't know. But when I first talked with them, I had an inkling, I don't know. I don't know about this. And then I talked with Pam, who was in the office. our ministry administrator, and I said, you know, this might be one of the 99 out of 100, the one that I just don't feel it, Pam. I just don't think this is, you know, right for whatever reason. And I don't usually say that, but I did. And so I called them back after I kind of looked around to see if there was a way to help them, not through us directly, but, you know, some other means. And there isn't. If you know of some place, please tell me after the service, just so I have that in my pocket for future reference. So I called them back, and the husband answered, and I said, you know, it looks like, you know, we can't help you. And he said, well, you know, that's why I left the church in the first place. Because here you always are preaching about helping people and serving, you know, people who have needs, and you're not helping us. So thanks a lot. And then he hung up. Well, that was like Jesus tells that parable of the, you know, you have 100 sheep, 99 of them are just doing what they're supposed to do, and there's one that goes away, and what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go get that sheep, and of course the one that I go get that sheep, and it bites me. There was not a good day. And I was feeling very down. And I realized I had just lost track of the easy stuff. I'd been caught up in the hard stuff, and the easy stuff was left behind. Love God, love your neighbor. That's all I'm supposed to do. That's all we're supposed to do. That's all this church is supposed to do. Even if this church weren't here, if a hurricane came and blew this church down, hopefully we would still be St. Mark, the people of St. Mark, and we would still be singing right here in this spot if it were an open area. We would still be singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, all the colors, they're precious in his sight, and my name is blank, and you get to fill in your name. My name is Eric, I love the Lord. We love Jesus, we love the Lord, we love Jesus, we love the Lord. Kids of the kingdom, people of the kingdom, people of the kingdom who do only two things, love God and love neighbor, the easy stuff. So, what I want to do is, if you're feeling down, you get two takeaways. Not only do you get the wonderful songs that you heard today, and I wish I had a bunch of shakers. I'd give you a shaker because that can remind you of something. Take a tissue because you may not need it, but there may be somebody else who needs one. Someone will need this. I can guarantee you. It's going to be you or someone else, but someone's going to need this by the end of the year. So I'm just going to take that one. Oh, was that too big of a... I'm not Jesus. I mean, I can't just, you know, prophesy, you know, crazy stuff. I just said I'm trying to get... But, so you got the tissue. Keep that. Bring, you know, get that when you come up for communion. But here's the other way. Take this bulletin, because go back to page 3. Go back to page 3. Because this relates so much to the gospel. In the end of the gospel, you will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name, because you love God and you love others. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. And look what Pastor Beth said to us, and you can say this to yourself during the week and say this to someone else. This is on the end of that confession of forgiveness. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. The love of Christ shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, guides our feet into the way of peace. It's about the easy stuff. Love neighbor. Love God. That's it. Amen.